Good morning, good morning. Hold on, this good morning, and Boker Tov. Welcome back to Parsha Perspectives for today. We have the privilege of reading and learning, of studying Parshas Va'eschanan, this continued conversation of Moshe Rabbeinu, his monologue, his major talk, his last talk, the last lecture of Moshe Rabbeinu, the end of his life, charging the Jewish people on the brink, on the cusp, as they're about to enter the land. I want to thank, as always, our series sponsors. Big thank you to Becky and Avi Katz and family. Our learning is Le'ili Nishmas, David Grossman, David Ben, Menachem Manish. Also, the series is co-sponsored by the Dykman family in memory of the daughter and sister. Our learning should serve to elevate the neshama of Daniela Rachabas Shalom Ezra. This morning's share is sponsored by Yanina and Gordon Haas in memory of his grandfather, Gustav Haas, Hechaver Gedalia Ben Michael, and his 90th Yahrzeit. Wow, 90th Yahrzeit, thank you so much for your generosity and your sponsorship. Parshas Va'eschanan, page 958. This is our last week, I think, together. We're going to take a little break following Tisha B'Av. I'll be away for a few weeks, and then we'll resume. Baruch Hashem, there's so many other people you could listen and learn from. You could listen to past previous years when we've covered most of these parshios. You could learn on your own. A very novel thought. You can explore on your own. But I look forward to seeing you, Amir Tashem, afterwards when I get back. Page 958, Va'eschanan El Hashem. Our parsha begins with a description of Moshe's sort of relentless tefillah to Hashem. Continues to follow up over and over and over and over and over again. We know that Moshe did not want to take no for an answer. No less than 515 times the gematria of Eschanan, Moshe davens to Hashem, asks Hashem, requests of Hashem, and says, I won't take no for an answer. I want to get into that promised land. It's what I dedicated my entire life to. And Bechozos, with all of that, Hashem says, no, stop asking. Ravlach, al tosav daber elai od badavar hazeh. Don't bring this up anymore. Don't bring this up again. We're done. This is it. And Moshe accepts it. He tries. There's a lot to say on this, and we've spoken a lot about it, but I want to share some new ideas with you this morning. We begin with Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditch of the Kedushas Levi, the Sefer Lashon Chasidim. He quotes the Halakha Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, who says the following. The word Lemor, what is the word Lemor doing in this pasuk? Va'eschanan el Hashem, Moshe, what's the translation of Eschanan? He implored, look at the article. He beseeched, he implored, he begged, he groveled, he mutchered. He went after Hashem over and over and over. Ba'esai, in that time. What does the word Lemor add? The word lemor technically means saying. What does the word lemor add? Says the Kedushas Levi, Tevas lemor hu miyusar. It's extra. Vanira da perish a pasuk v'eschanan Hashem be'isahi, perish haya mischanein tchila kidei sheyuchal espala achakach. He davened lemor so that he could daven. Shayatzarech lemor, shakodem lo haya yuchal lemor, ki abosh milifanov yizbarach. Vayatzarech lespala sheyuchal lespala. The way to read this pasuk, says Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, is that sometimes we hesitate. We're reluctant to approach Hashem. Who am I? How can I ask for these things? You already said no. Do I really come back and ask again? So we're reluctant. We hesitate. We can't find the words, or we feel unworthy. So v'eschanan el Hashem ba'esahi, Moshe davened in that moment, lemor. Give me the words. Put the words in my mouth. Give me the courage. Give me the worthiness. Let me have the conviction, give me the faith and belief that it's worth asking Hashem. In some sense, this is what we do every day. Every day when we say the Amidah, we introduce it with Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi agiti lasecha. Hashem, open up my lips, move my mouth so that I can speak, so that I can say your praise. Hashem sefasai tiftach ufi agiti lasecha. Before I daven, let me daven. Let me daven, that I daven. And you say, maybe that sounds somewhat preposterous. If you're davening, then you're davening. Why do you have to daven that you daven? But how many of us end davening and we don't feel like we davened? How often do you finish davening, close the sitter, and don't remember saying one word? It's like you drove home from Miami, you pull into your driveway, and you don't remember making one turn, stepping on the gas pedal or brake once. You were just driving. You were talking, you were listening, you were distracted, occupied, preoccupied, you just pull into the driveway. We take three steps back. We say, oh, I guess I just finished Shmoneh Esrei. I don't remember starting it. I squandered the opportunity to be in Hashem's Oval Office, to talk to him, to pour out my heart to him, to ask him to be in his presence. I missed it. So what Moshe is modeling for us, the big lesson of the opening pasuk, according to Kedushas Levi, is Va'eschanan el Hashem ba'esahi, to daven to Hashem in that moment, lemor. It's a whole kavana for Hashem's Fasai Tiftach. We take our three steps forward, and before we begin, we say, Hashem, I got a lot going on, and I got a lot to ask for. I have a lot to be thankful for. I have a lot. Help me concentrate with as much as my mind is racing, distracted. My phone is in my pocket. It's buzzing. It's bouncing. It's beeping. It's vibrating. Va'eschanan al Hashem, Hashem Sivasai Tiftach, let me be present. Let me be mindful. Let me take advantage of this opportunity. Let me say what I want to say, what needs to be said. Va'eschanan al Hashem, that ba'esai, that in that moment, lemor. Let me have the concentration and the focus. Let me have the courage and the conviction. Let me have the clarity to say what needs to be said and to ask you for what I want to ask for. That's a Kedushas Levi. The Zera Kodesh, the Rapshitzer, he has a little bit of a different insight. What's the Be'ezahi? At that time. What time? What was special about that time? Moshe beseeched Hashem. He begged Hashem. He implored Hashem. In that moment, at what time? What time? What day? What day on the calendar? What time of day? What was special about that moment, about that time, about Ba'esai, about that time? So says the Rapshitzer of the Zera Kodesh, Shekaya kol eis veis, it's talking about every time, every moment. Yeshlom ha-shalimit osana bazeh, Moshe's teaching, Shelo yomar adam ata in li moach karoy letfila, velo espalel ata. You know, I'm tired. I'm hungry. I'm distracted. I've got a to-do. Now is not a good time to daven. I can't concentrate. I can't focus. I'll get to it later. I'll go to a later minyan. I'll open the sitter at home later. I'll chop mincha later. Now is not a good time. Got a lot going on. I'm distracted, focused, got a lot to do. Now is not good. V'lo espalel ata. Rak l'kishefne espalel karayachana. When I'm free, when I have nothing on my mind, when I feel at peace and whole, then I'll daven. Don't say that. Rak b'chol eis ve'eis tespal afi ha'eis ha'eis shal achshav. Yeh ha'eis eis ha'eis ha'yeh. Says the Rapshitzer, Moshe Maldi taught us v'eschanan al Hashem. Talk to Hashem v'eis ha'eis. Wherever you are at that moment. However you're doing at that moment. Whatever is going on at that moment. Someone's pulling on your leg. Some child needs you in your home. Your phone is blowing up. You got a lot of things to do. Whatever is happening. That's what you could bring to davening. Then that's what you bring. That's where you're holding. That's where you're at. That's what's going on. Then that's where you're at. Ba'is hahi. Moshe is giving us license. He's giving us permission that we don't wait for the perfect environment and the perfect atmosphere and the perfect feeling and the perfect night's rest and the perfect satiated stomach and the perfect. We don't wait for the perfect moment to daven. You know why? We'd still be waiting because we'd never daven because that perfect moment never comes. There's always something going on. There's always an ache, a pain. There's always I didn't sleep as well as I could. There's so much to do. There are so many people who want us. There's always so much competing for our time and attention. So what do we give the best we can? Bo'esahi, in that moment, wherever you're holding, whatever the moment is. And that's what we're going to get to also in the parasha later. Perek Dalet Pasuk Chav Tes. Uvikashta misham es Hashem Elokecha umatzasa. Ask and search for Hashem. When we kashed him, be a mevakesh, bikush, search, yearn, look for Hashem, long for him, umatzasa, and you'll find him. What does it say there? What extra word there? Uvikashtem, misham. It could just say search, long, look for Hashem, but it says misham, from there. What's the from there? Below Amar be'ez makum uzma. Where's from there? When you're searching for Hashem, you're guaranteed to find him. When you search from there, misham, where is there? So again, says the Rapshitzer, the Zera Kodesh, haperish misham mikomakom umakom sha'ata sham. Wherever you're holding at the moment, don't wait. You know when I'll daven? After the most amazing kumzitz. If you have the right chazan, if you get the right rabbi, if they daven at the right pace, if the air conditioning is set to the right setting, if the lights are on the right brightness, if I have the right person sitting next to me, then my davening, that would be a davening. But if any of those things are off, Forget about it. I'm just going to mail it in. Not going to be impressive. I won't really be present. Maybe I'll skip it altogether. No. But wherever you're holding, whatever's going on, you bring the best you can to that moment. You do the best you can. And that's the same thing. Misham. Where's Sham? There. There is wherever you're holding. Wherever you're holding. Misham. Misham. Sometimes you're davening in shul, hopefully. Other times at home. Sometimes you're davening in an airport. Sometimes you're davening at a Yankee game. Sometimes you're davening on the side of the road because the sun is setting and you better pull over. You are running out of time. Uvikashtem misham. Where's a good place to daven? Wherever you are. And wherever you are holding. And that's what Moshe is telling and teaching us, to do our best with our best in that moment. The Menachem Tzion, Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, we've been going through the new edition, also has on this, we're going to get past the opening pasuk. We're going to get past it. Mirtz Hashem, but we're still on the opening pasuk. What is Bo'ei Sahi? What does it mean at that moment? Mahu Lemor, Lemor. Amar Rabbi Zari, it's a Medrash, Dvarim Rabba, Lemor Ledoros. Sheyu Mispalim B'Shas HaTzara. Shrei Moshe Afa B'Shanemar Lo Lo Savor Yadein Hazeh Hischil Mischanein. Lemor, Moshe was teaching us something that wasn't just for that moment or at that time. Lemor, he was teaching us for generations to come. That when Moshe is disappointed, when God is giving him a no, Moshe doesn't say, well, okay, I surrender, I submit, you're in charge, you're in control, I tried, I asked once, I'll walk away. What does Moshe say? Okay, that's cute, you said no, now let's get started. I've got 514 more times I'm gonna ask you. It works for our children, and they nudge us and mutcher us and don't leave us alone when they can sense that it's negotiable. They can sense that we're soft. They can sense if they could simply wear us out and wear us down, they just have to ask enough times. And other things are non-negotiables, then they never even get started. And this is a form of tefillah called mischanein, va'eschanan, chinun, ches nun vavnun. This form of tefillah, chanun, rachum v'chanun. This form of tefillah means don't take no for an answer from Hashem. Sometimes we surrender, we submit. Sometimes we walk away. Sometimes the answer is no. Hashem always answers us. Just not always the yes that we're looking for. Sometimes it's a no. And sometimes it's a no because he wants us to keep asking because of the relationship and the connection. Sometimes it's a no because it's time to walk away. The lemor is ledoros, that for generations to come, we need to know that b'shas tzara, when we're going through a crisis, when something is wrong, when we're coming back to Hashem, like Moshe, lo savor yadein hazeh. Sorry, Moshe, your life work and your life effort, you're not entering the promised land. Moshe says, I'm not done asking. I'm coming back again and again and again until you tell me to give up and walk away. That we too, as we're waiting to enter the promised land, and yes, geographically we have that opportunity today, and we talk often at BRS, and I'm proud to tell you that we've got more than a dozen families making Aliyah this summer. There's no excuse to not struggle with, not if, but when, all of us will pick up and go and place our lot in that promised land. We too want to be there like Moshe. Evra naver es haaretz hatova. We want to cross over and we want to see the good land. Says Rav Menachem Ben Tzion Zaks, who by the way was born and raised in Yerushalayim, for whatever reason found himself in America and was a Rav in Chicago for most of his life. And wherever we are living, we want to and need to go back to that promised land. Physically, the opportunity to move literally to Eretz Israel, to Israel, and spiritually, even those who live in Israel, we're living in a state of galus, running to bomb shelters, fearing what comes next, fighting enemies, fighting within ourselves, the cause of the galus we're still in. Following the footsteps of Moshe means don't stop asking. Don't stop groveling, begging, imploring, beseeching. Don't stop saying, Hashem, when it be my turn? When will I go? When can all of us, all those who are there, live in peace and serenity and tranquility and have the safety and security they deserve? That's the lemor. Lemor says the Medrash is lemor ledoros. This wasn't one time. It wasn't only for Moshe. This is Ladoros. This is in perpetuity. Last insight on the opening pasuk, insight number 4, is from Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, is from the great Tefer Shmuel. And he wonders, he points to Rashi. Rashi says, Vo'es chanan, ein chanan b'chol makom el lashon matnas chinam. The word chanun, this form of tefillah, we studied it at length. Many years ago, we learned the whole sefer She'arim b'tefillah. Shimshon David Pinkas, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, has a beautiful sefer called She'arim b'tefillah. It's been translated into English, Gateways to Prayer. Highly recommend it. It's based on a medrash. The medrash Yalkut Shimoni tells us there are 13 synonyms for prayer. We use one word in English, prayer. But in Hebrew, Bitzor, Tzaka, Zaka, Rina, Chinun. There are 13 synonyms, but there are no synonyms in the Hebrew language. Every time it seems that we have a repetitive word, there's some nuance, there's another insight, often subtle, but there's an additional meaning. And so She'arim b'tefillah is 13 chapters, a chapter for each form of tefillah, to tell us the difference between the two. And we understand, we know, if you go to a hospital, the prayer at the bedside of someone terminally ill is categorically different than the prayer at the bedside in the maternity ward as a baby's being born. Both are in the hospital, both are reciting prayers from the book of Tehillim, but they're entirely different. Entirely different. There are all kinds of forms, and one of them is this word, chanun chinun. And says Rashi, and there Rav Pinkas develops what that means, and when do we employ it in our lives, and what does it look like, and when do we walk away and back off from it? That whole series is online. You can listen, or certainly I encourage you to learn it on your own. The Hebrew is not hard, and it's been translated into English, I think Feldheim, as well. So Rashi here says, Ein chanun b'chol makom el losha matnas chinam. Whenever we use this form of tefillah, chanun ve'es chanan, it's matnas chinam. Hashem, give us a freebie. Undeserving, unworthy, not entitled, but nonetheless. Matnas chinam, chinam, for free, for nothing. Even though the righteous would be more than entitled to say to Hashem, look, I've earned it. I've got some in the bank. I have some merits. I've worked hard. So Hashem, in exchange, I'd like to make a withdrawal after all my deposits. Even though the righteous would be entitled, ein mevakshem esat mokom ela matnas chinam, they never do. Instead, they always say, Hashem, I'm unworthy. Not in exchange for the deposits, my merits, my worthiness. No, matnas chinam. Out of the graciousness and the goodness and the kindness and the generosity, give me something for free, even though I am unworthy, even though I don't deserve it. And asks Rav Shmuel Berenbaum on this Rashi, Tzorach Iyun. If Rashi is already acknowledging the righteous ostensibly have the right, their bank account is not in the red. They've made deposits of merits. So why aren't they making a withdrawal? Imagine a wealthy person whose bank account is full, whose wallet is dripping cash. And they walk into the store and they say, could you give me a freebie? Could I have a handout? Could you not charge me? So if the righteous are overflowing, why are they asking Hashem for a handout? Says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, V'yishlomar, the lesson, the message here is, D'mitoch anivuso shel Moshe Rabbeinu shaya anav mikol adam. Moshe, we know, is the most humble of all men. Moshe is the most humble of all time. So he thought, what are you going to do? Come to Hashem and say, let me in the land. You owe me. You owe me. I've dedicated a lifetime of service to you, to your children. You owe me. Moshe is the most modest, the most humble. He lives his life with a sense that I'm not entitled to anything. Anything, not from other people and certainly not from you, Hashem. Anything I have is a blessing from above. I can see, I can hear, I can walk. I have a roof over my head, a car in my driveway. If I'm blessed, I have family, I have friends, I have my faculties. I'm not entitled. I'm not deserving. None of that is coming to me automatically. All of that is a matnas chinam. Hashem, you are so gracious and you are so good, and I don't deserve any of it. And that's the attitude, the posture of Moshe, and we're meant to follow. Because the tzaddikim, even though they could think of themselves as having merits, they don't. Their attitude is, I have nothing. I'm worth nothing. I've done nothing. And anything you do for me is only out of the goodness and graciousness of God. Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov similarly says, Katonti mikola chasadim. I've been diminished. I'm made smaller by all your kindness. When Yaakov Avinu is afraid, he's about to meet up with his brother and he's does these three things. He sends the gift and diplomacy and he davens. And our commentaries wonder, what's going on? Hashem made a promise. But the Torah itself tells us that Yaakov himself says, the beautiful song, Yonatan Rezel, should have a refuah shleima, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim. Hashem has already been too good to me. He's too good to me. I'm not deserving. I don't wake up with a sense of I'm entitled. I'm entitled. Even though he gave birth to the 12 tribes, and even though he remained vigilantly, steadfastly clinging to Torah and mitzvos all the years he's in the house of Lavan, with all that, Hashem, you're too good to me. I know, you know, Holocaust survivors who lost everyone and everything, and their attitude in life is, Hashem has been so good to me, I'm unworthy of his goodness. You're like, excuse me, come again? Come again? People who lost their parents and their spouse and children, who lost families, their community, lost everything. Rebuild again, start from scratch. Start from scratch. Yecheva just wrote an article last week in Mishpacha magazine. She's written several times about one set of grandparents. This was about her opa. Her opa was such a person. He lost everyone and everything and came to this country. And I had the privilege to know him and be close to him as well. And all the time he would say, he was thank Hashem Yisborach. Thank Hashem Yisborach. I'm unworthy. He's so kind. Look at the family. I survived. Look what I have. Look what we've rebuilt. That's a katonti mikol ha-chasadim. And today, too many people wake up and they say, my Wi-Fi is slow. How dare you, God? You owe me super fast Wi-Fi. I didn't get the upgrade. Where are you, Hashem? I don't believe anymore. Something hurts, a little cracks, I twisted my ankle, I don't believe anymore. There is no God. There is no God. The righteous, Yaakov Avinu, here Moshe Rabbeinu, Yecheved's Opa, so many we know, many of you. The best way to live life is, I'm not entitled to anything. And then, everything is a gift. Everything is a gift. It's critically important our children grow up this way, to know not only what Hashem does for them, what we do for them. If you start and you begin, you're not entitled. Don't expect anything. Expect nothing and feel entitled to nothing, and everything will be amazing. If you expect everything and you feel entitled to everything, you'll always be missing something. You'll be a victim and a martyr. You'll be angry, bitter, and resentful. So says Rav Shmuel Berenbaum, Moshe Rabbeinu is modeling here for us. He could cash in. He could tell Hashem, it's been a 40-year career of selfless devotion to your children. It's been miserable. They're incorrigible. It's been terrible. I gave up my marriage. I gave up my children, which he did, Moshe. He doesn't cash in on any of that. With all that he's given up, he still brings the attitude, I'm not entitled to anything. I don't deserve anything. Everything you do for me is kindness and kindness from you. It's kindness from you. That's the attitude we have to have. He elaborates on all of this, on the attitude we have to have. He quotes the Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim used to say all the time, Ribono Shel Olam, Natzati Li Mishnah Berurah V'Sefer Shmiras HaLashon U'Ma'asisi Bishvilcha. Hashem, I can't believe it. You gave me, you let me author the Mishnah Berurah and Shmiras HaLashon. Look what you gave me. What did I ever give you? What did I do to deserve this? What have I given you? That's the Chavetz Chaim, who gave a lot. But the Chavetz Chaim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Yaakov Avinu, and we, and our children, we need to raise our children with the attitude, I'm not entitled, I don't deserve, I don't expect anything, and then whatever happens is a gift from above. Wow, how lucky, how fortunate, and how grateful we will be. He elaborates, but you look like you want to move on. Perek Dalad, Pasuk Dalad. Moshe Rabbeinu is continuing the speech, so he davens, Hashem says, cut it out. One more time, I'd have to let you in, and that's not the way it's meant to be, so cut it out, don't ask again. Instead, climb on top of the mountain, and I want you to look west, north, south, and east. See that you're not going to cross. I've shared before, I can't help but just tell you this very quickly. This seems cruel. Moshe Rabbeinu 515 times says, please, pretty please, pretty please, with a cherry on top, pretty, 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 pretty please. Can I go in? Can I go in? Can I go in? This is all I live for. This is all I want. I've not asked you for anything. Please, can I go in? Hashem not only says, stop, don't ask me again. He says, oh, but the land you can't go in, come here. Climb here. Give a kick. Give a look. I want you to check it out. You see the land? Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it magnificent? Isn't it gorgeous? Isn't it incredible? Well, you can't go in. Wow. It's a little bit on the harsh side, no? It's a little gratuitously, unnecessarily cruel of Hashem, no? So this is one of the very few original thoughts. I think what Hashem is telling him, we're concentrating on when he says, look at the land and you can't go in. But think about what else he's telling him. Now, when he says, look westward, northward, and southward, I get. Look west means into the land. North, the northern part of the land, south, the southern part, southern part of the land. Why does he tell Moshe, look eastward? What's east of where he's standing? The desert, Jordan. Why would he look east? Why would he look east? I humbly submit to you today that maybe Hashem is telling him, Moshe, you're looking at the land you're not getting to. Turn around. I want you to see how far you've come. Sometimes we're so fixed and fixated on where we want to go and where we didn't get that we neglect to think about and to appreciate how far we've come. How far we've come. It's true in life. It's true in business. It's true in learning Torah. It's true with our family. To ever press pause, turn around, see how far we've come, and celebrate for one moment. Pat ourselves on the back a little bit. Be grateful for not only where we want to go and maybe be frustrated for where we're not yet, but also stop every now and then, turn around and say, look how far we've come. Hashem is telling Moshe, climb the mountain. Look, look west, north, south. It's true, you're not going to get there. It's best for you. It's best for the people. This is for the best. I'm sorry. It's true, you're not going to get there. But also turn around and look east. And look over 40 years, how far you've come, how far you've taken this people, where it all began, where it all started, and where you are now. Wow, what a legacy. Wow, what you've done. Take that in and be grateful for it. Perek Dalad, Pasuk Dalad. V'ata Yisrael, now, listen to all these laws I'm going to teach you. Live in the land. Lo sosifu, v'lo sigru. Don't add and don't take away. Don't adjust. These aren't suggestions. These aren't negotiations. Don't add, don't take away, don't adjust it. You know, when you go to the doctor and the doctor prescribes the medicine, you don't say, well, if, you know, 7 milligrams is good, 25 milligrams, I'm sure is better. Or 7, I don't know, I Googled it. I went to ChatGPT, I think I'll take 3. Don't add, don't take away. When you've got a prescription from someone who knows, just follow the prescription. That's what Moshe is enjoining. He is charging the people. Brings us to Pasuk Dal. V'yatem advikim Hashem lokechem. Chaim kolchem ayom, a pasuk familiar to us. Ve'atam hadvekim. Hadvekim means, what is hadvekim? Cling. Cling to Hashem, your God. Chaim kolchem ayom. Chaim kolchem hayom. Dvekus, to cling. What does it mean to cling? Dvekus. Dvekus, a good band. Good Jewish music. When we get back to it Friday afternoon. What is dvekus, to cling? The Meshech Chochma. Meshech Chochma, Meir Simcha Zvin says, the root of the word dvekus, which is to cling, to cleave to Hashem, is devek. What's devek? Glue. Glue yourself to God. Attach yourself to Him. Glue yourself to Him. Glue yourself to Him. This is the Meshech Chochma's understanding of dvekus. We learned this in the Amunah Shir, maybe 200 Shirim ago. The Meshech Chochma. What does it mean, glue yourself? It means that, you know, you move neighborhoods, and you're a kid and you're starting a new school and you know one kid in the school and that kid in the school says, attach yourself to me, you'll be fine. Sit with me at lunch, follow me at recess, sit next to me in the class, just glue yourself to me and you'll be fine. And you'll be fine. Hashem says, glue yourself to me and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Whatever life throws your way, whatever you have to navigate, however you need to get to the other side of whatever you're facing, dvekus, devek, glue yourself to me, attach yourself to me, and you'll be fine. That's dvekas, hadvekim, to cling, to cleave, attach, glue yourself to me. What is hayom? Hayom, chaim kulchem, hayom. Chaim kulchem, You are all alive today. You who cling to Hashem, your God, you are all alive. Hayom, today. What's the word Hayom adding? The Halagano Meli Melech, Reveli Melech Lejinsky says the following. Milas Hayom Enem Duktak. Yeshlomar Dine Amra Tana. The Mishnah Rava says, Al Tamin Ba'atzmacha Ad Yom Moscha. Don't be overly confident and don't believe and trust in yourself until the day of your death. Hagam Shara Adam Shinigis Atzma Yom Azabedarcha Yashar. You think today I dieted, today I ate well. No white flour, no white sugar, no carbs, good eating day. Today was a good, so now I'm set. I'm done. I'm done eating poorly because I had one good eating day. Today was good. Good day today. I didn't speak Lashon Hara today. Good to go. Now I'll never speak Lashon Hara again. Right? Wrong. Afa bichin ayam in atzma shu ish yashar. Rak hayom hazeh shu omid bo, ulamacharaso miyad tzarech lascha mechadosh l'cha pizro musa yizbaruch shmo, lidvak bo yizbaruch v'yisala. Guess what? I got bad news for you. When you wake up tomorrow, you got to do it all over again. Struggle with the foods you don't want to eat. Struggle with the things you shouldn't say. Struggle with the things you don't want to look at. These are areas of our lives we never conquer. At best, what we do is we manage. I learned this from a wonderful therapist in our community. I was helping a particular person, and that person felt they could give up therapy because I'm done. I had an issue. I went, and the therapist fixed me. I conquered. I'm done. I'm good to go. And the therapist helped me realize, and therefore through me, that person helped them realize, you're not done. In fact, the moment you think you're done, you're in the biggest trouble. The moment you think you've conquered it, you've fixed it, you're good to go forever, you are the most vulnerable. You are in the most trouble. What you need to realize in life is that these are areas and things that at best we go through life managing. We never conquer, we didn't fix, we manage. We manage. That's what the Noam Eli Melech, Rav Eli Melech Lejinsk is saying. That's the word, Hayom. Atem advekim b'Hashem l'keichem, chayim kuchem, you're alive because you're practicing dvekus, Hayom. You've done well today. But lest you think that guarantees tomorrow, no. You need to know it's only Hayom. Tomorrow, you got to start again. V'zev v'atem advekim chayim kuchem. Rotzo lomer shezeh dover hashav l'cho Yisrael, she'ef shalom davik atzim bor yisbal yisala. Never get overly confident. Never get cocky. Never think you're done, you're fixed, you're finished. No, day by day. I love recovery. There's so much to learn from the 12 steps, the recovery world for everybody. The people in recovery have the courage to admit their addictions. The rest of us have all these kinds of things we're addicted to, but society hasn't diagnosed us, and therefore, we don't live in that community, but we should, because there's so much to live from it. And one of the aphorisms, one of the language of the recovery world, of the addiction world, is day by day, is the notion of taking it day by day, of the count of every day. And a person who went backwards, person who unfortunately repeated the behavior they're trying to abstain from, they begin the count again. They could be up to 1,227, and if they fell, then tomorrow's day one. Tomorrow's day one. V'atem advekem Hashem Elokeichem chayim kuchem hayom. Hayom means day one. Today's day one. Tomorrow's two, three. Hopefully we can keep going. And if we can't, we have day one again. And says Rav Eli Melech Lejinsk, that's what the Torah is telling us with the word. What a powerful lesson. Modern psychology and the recovery community is only catching up to what the Torah already knew and what the Rav Eli Melech is elucidating. That the reason for the word Hayom is, don't ever get too high on yourself. We've all been there, no? We think we had a great davening, now I'm good to go with davening. We were on a good streak eating well, and now we look at people, how could they eat that stuff? What's the matter with them? I'd never put that poison in my mouth. We look with such judgment at the people eating. What's the matter with them? Okay, give it a few weeks. Give it a few months. And we find we're right back where those people are. With other people, being judgmental of us. Hayom, take it day by day. We do our best on any given day, and if we've done well that day, be proud for that day, but don't ever think that guarantees tomorrow, because the moment we think it guarantees tomorrow, we're going to stop putting in the work for tomorrow. One has to wake up every day knowing that's the work for today. Next pasuk, Perek Dalad, pasuk Vav. U'shmartem v'asisam ki chochmaschem u'vinaschem l'nei ha'amim. And Pasuk Vav. You shall safeguard and perform them, for it is your wisdom and discernment in the eyes, le'enei ha'amim, of all people. Asher yishmu'un es kol chukim ha'ele, v'omu rak am chacham v'navon ha'goya gadol hazeh. Who shall hear all these decrees and say, surely a wise and discerning people is this great nation. 3 years ago, which is the last time we learned Parshas Ve'aschanan, looked it up this morning, I shared with you what Rabbi Soloveitchik says on this pasuk. I'm not going to reread it or repeat it. I spoke about it and we elaborated on it because it's very beautiful. Le'enei kol ha'amim, Soloveitchik there reminds us that the Torah was given to the Jews, but not for the Jews. Torah was given to us, the Jews, for us to share with the world. The Torah has the messages, the insights, the meaning, the purpose of life for all of humanity, for all of society, for the entire world. We're not meant to retreat and isolate and insulate and hold it and keep it only for ourselves. We're meant to teach it and share it and transform the world with it. That's le'enei ha'amim. Take it and spread it and share it. Not the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's ours, the Gemara, the Talmud. The Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, that's the bestseller of all time that appears in hotel drawers and dressers. That is meant to be shared with the world. You can look it up in the Rabbi Soloveitchik Chumash or listen from 3 years ago. But I want to share with you what Rabbi Sachs says in his Chumash. And he writes the following. According to the Ramban, the meaning of the phrase, your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples. Right? The Pasuk said, Pasuk Vav, take care to keep them, for this will be your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples. When they hear all these decrees, they will say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. So the Ramban says, what does this mean? What it means is, your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples is that the statutes and ordinances of the great benefit that they will bring honor from others to those who observe them. Even their enemies will praise them. Other nations will admire Israel's way of life. When we're living the way we're meant to live, when we are living the lifestyle that we're meant to live, then the nations of the world will look at us. And instead of attacking us, harassing us, criticizing us, condemning us, marginalizing us, isolating us, they will look at us and they will say, wow, look at that beauty. Look at that. Shabbos. Look how Shabbos has become popular. Take a technology Sabbath. Look how Charlie Kirk, the end of his life, was trying to promote and encourage, like the Jews. Look at the wisdom of the Jews. I don't even want to quote maybe the most prominent anti-Semite of our time. Some bizarre clip came out of him last week talking about the Jews get it. They educate their children and they observe this and they keep that and they aspire for the other thing. No one, it was like Bilam, like Hashem put a blessing in the mouth of this donkey. Why he said those things. But when we live up to who we're supposed to live up to, the Ramban says, Be'enei kol ha'amim, then the nations of the world see and they say, wow, Sabbath makes sense. Morality, integrity, honesty, having diet, being moral, being modest, beautiful. Other nations will admire the Jewish people's way of life. That's the Ramban. Sfarno interprets it differently. Through the Torah, you will be able to refute a heretic by intellectual proofs. It is not so much others will admire Israel as they will acknowledge the divine source of its laws. The Jewish people will be living proof that God exists and has communicated with mankind. Sforno says, La'inei kol ha'amim doesn't mean they're going to admire and revere and want to learn. No, what it means is, when they debate you, you'll defeat them. If you learn and live Torah, if you're familiar, mechudad meficha, if you have access, it's on the tip of your tongue, the truth of Torah, you'll win, you'll beat them in every debate. You will know and you will stand for the truth. You will be able to say and speak truth to power, and what really matters, says this Sforno. Le'nei ha'amim means you'll have the courage and the conviction and the knowledge to be able to speak. Shmuel David Lizato, Shaddai, writes in a later age, he sees the text from a different perspective. This is a refutation, he writes, of those who say that the statutes Moshe gave were adopted from the Egyptians and other peoples of his time. Moshe's contemporaries would have known far better than we do if this had been the case. They would say that Israel is a foolish and inferior nation. Its laws were stolen. Moshe suggests Lizato knew that there was something different about the laws of Israel. This could not have been the case if Israel had simply adopted or adapted the practices of its time. So le'enei ha'amim means you're going to prove to the nations this wasn't stolen or borrowed. You're not simply copying others. This is original. This is uniquely Jewish. Writes Rabbi Sachs after all this. Whichever interpretation we take, the implication of Moshe's words is clear. The Torah would have an impact far beyond the boundaries, literal or metaphorical, of Israel. And no time in the biblical era could this be said to be true, but it did come true nonetheless. The Greeks, struck by the intensity with which Jews studied Torah, called them a nation of philosophers. Then came Christianity and Islam, two faiths tracing their ancestry to Avram and drawing much of their inspiration from the Hebrew Bible. Already in the 12th century, Rambam could write, this is what the Rambam writes, Hilchos Melachim u'Milchos Seichim. It's the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph. I'm reading to you the Rambam. The whole world is already filled with the words of the Christian Messiah and the words of the commandments. And these words have spread to the farthest islands and among many unenlightened peoples. And they discuss these words and the commandments of Torah. The effect of Christianity and Islam to spread the Jewish message, albeit in ways with which Jews could not agree, throughout the world. The time of this writing, these religions represent more than half of the people on the face of the earth. The, quote, Judeo-Christian ethic and the Abrahamic faiths have shaped much of civilization of the West. The Torah really did become your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples. Of course, Christianity and Islam don't represent truth. Islam is a monotheistic religion. We posit Christianity isn't. But even the Rambam, who says Christianity is idolatry, does credit both with spreading the God of the Jews. And therefore, that is the fulfillment of this pasuk. Says Rabbi Sacks, the Torah really did become your wisdom and understanding, le'enei ha'amim, the eyes of the peoples. The people God chose to carry his message were not an obvious choice. They were not large, nor were they especially pious. The impression we gain of the Israelites throughout is a fractious, often wayward group of stiff-necked people. And yet, Moshe and the prophets were convinced the message they carried was not for their people alone. It had a universal significance. Moshe said the laws of the Israelites have been commanded and will show your wisdom and understanding in the eyes of the peoples. When they hear all these decrees, they will say, surely this great nation is wise and understanding, and understanding people. Okay. Vayter, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tes. Raki shemelecha o'shmar nafshecha ma'od. Pen tishkachas ha'dvar ma'asher reinecha. Pen yasirum levavcha koyim echayecha. Yodatam levanecha. V'levnei vanecha. Only beware. Be careful for yourself. And greatly beware for your soul. Lest you forget the things that your eyes have beheld. Lest you remove them from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. What? That yom asher amat avnei shem kachah b'chorev. No. Remember. Remind them about the day that you stood at that mountain, the day that you received the Torah. Says the Baal Shem Tov. Says the Baal Shem Tov. Rak. Rak. Yishamer lecha ushmur nafshecha ma'od. Rak. Kasher gufo chole, gam nishmaso nechleshes. We begin with Rak yishamer lecha. You be careful. Ushmur, and also safeguard nafshecha. Nafshecha nefesh is your. So you be careful and guard your soul. Said the Heilige Baal Shem, you know why? Because you, the lecha, is your body. Eat right, sleep right, exercise right. Take good care of your body. Why? Because if you don't take care of your body, then your soul can't be healthy. We sometimes think the more pious you are, the less you care about taking care of yourself. Unfortunately, there's a stigma. Like the more heimish, the frummer, the more out of shape, the less you care, the more you invest in taking care of yourself. The Baal Shem was reminding us, if you want to be an Eved Hashem, you want to serve God, you can't do it if you have no energy. You can't do it if you have no clarity. You can't do it if you don't have your health, your faculties. You can't do it if you don't have your function, if you don't have your body and your joints. How are you going to be an Eved Hashem? How are you going to pursue and fulfill your mission, your why of why you're here? Nishmasi, your soul, your unique purpose and mission. How can you pursue it? How can you fulfill it? How can you do it if you don't have what takes? If you're incapacitated, if you're ill, you're infirm, if you don't have the energy. You know that the Shulchan Aruch in Yoredeya has a section on Hilchos Melamdim, the laws of teachers. And there in the laws of teachers, the Mechaber, Shulchan Aruch says, a teacher must get enough sleep. What's it the school's business? What's it the parents' business? That teacher wants to stay up all night, hopefully learning Torah, or even doing something else. As long as they showed up on time, stood in the front of the classroom, covered the curriculum, whose business is it? The answer is the quality of what they do is severely diminished if you don't get enough sleep. We don't get enough sleep. don't get enough sleep. And that's because I don't care about my future self. All the research, all the studies show what happens in the future and our future selves. The incidence of dementia and Alzheimer's goes up astronomically for someone who sleeps less than 6 hours a night. So we think, okay, that's important, and we'll get to it. And then yet, that night, we still go to sleep too late, wake up too early, get too little sleep. One example. But it's true about everything. It's true about everything. This isn't me, this is the Halakha of Hashem. Rak hi shamer lecha. You have to take care of the lecha, your body. Why? Ushmor nafshecha ma'od. Because the way, nafshecha, the way to take care of your soul is to first begin by taking care of your body. If you're not mobile, if you don't have energy, if you're not healthy, you can't live as an Eved Hashem, or you can't live it fully. L'kach tzarech adam lishmor b'riyos gufo ma'od. That's number one. Then he quotes from the Chozev of Lublin. Yishamer l'cha kol ach v'rak u'miyot. Yerushalmi and Brachos elsewhere. Every time we have the word ach or rak, rak means only. Only is a miyot. Only comes to exclude. So what are we excluding? Rak. However, only, excluding. What are we memai? Ratzalomar shetemaid bameshino geir l'cha u'legufcha. U'shmor nafshecha ma'od. Ratzalomar dvar manogim l'nafshecha. Bazeti anishmar ma'od. So, temai. Limit, what are we being memayed? What are we excluding? Exclude all the fat, all the indulgence, all the things your body doesn't need. And by excluding, rak always comes to exclude. If you exclude all that which you don't need, the third dessert, the fourth side, 17th helping on Shabbos, if you exclude everything you don't need, then the result is shmor nafshecha ma'od. That will be the outcome, that will be the result. Menachem Tzion also comments here on this pasuk. Rak yishamer u'shmor nafshecha ma'od. And he says the following. What is it? Dalet Vav, Dalet Tes. Dalet Tes. Sorry. Rak yishamer l'cha b'chol rak u'miyot. Haynu shmor al halacha, abriyas gufcha, shmir regila. What you need to be careful about is your body. Ki adam shmiras gufo alav, because we are the custodians over our bodies. They're not ours. They belong to Hashem. That's why the Torah says you can't tattoo the body. The body's not ours. We were given the body to take care of. If I gave you my piece of jewelry, I gave you my laptop, I left you with my car, I said I'm going away, I need you to watch over it. You need to take care of it. You're not entitled to make changes to it. We can't make changes to it. It's not ours. And we have to care for it. Protect it. Ushmor nafshecha ma'od, as brios nafshecha, nishmascha, alecha l'shmor ma'od. And yet when it comes to the soul, we have to be exceedingly careful. Ki asakanas ha'orbos al neshama shel tafkin ba'alma, d'shikra, hina merubas ma'od. Which is more in danger? Which every day faces greater threats? The body or the soul? So we tend to live our lives taking care of the body much more than the soul. The body, we go for our annual, we do our lab work, and we have the gym membership, whether we use it or not. And the body, people take care of Ozempic and whatever other shots or pills. And today, people are pursuing those who need it, those don't really need it. But the body, everyone's running to care for the body. The body, Botox and the plastic surgery and the lifts and the colorings and the tucks and everything that's going on for the body. What about the soul? So the pasuk tells us, Hishamer lecha. The lecha, you, your body, Hishamer, be careful. You're a custodian, take care of it, be careful. But when it comes to nafshecha, when it comes to your soul, ma'od, that you have to be very careful about. Because that's for eternity, that's in perpetuity. And that, the threats and the dangers are even greater. There's so much more. The Gemara Brachos Daf Chav Ches says, Yiratzon shtei mora shamayim aleichem kemora basar v'dam. One of the great Tanaim was visited by his students, who said, give us a blessing, and his blessing was, Yi Ratzo may be God's will, Shei Mora Shemayim Aleichem, may your fear of heaven be as great of your fear of Basar V'dam. Now the simple translation, the simple taiches means, you'd be afraid of a king, a president, a prime minister. You're afraid every time you see the police, the popo. That you're afraid of. But may your fear of Hashem be even greater. Hashem, we're brazen. Hashem, we violate. Hashem, we neglect. But if you'd see someone who could punish you, basar v'dam is a allusion to a human being. But says the Menachem Tzion, read it differently. Kishem she hincham shriyim tamid b'morish lo yu'una kol un b'guf, b'basar v'dam shalachem, atem misyarim mikol davar sha'olif gom mitibkudei evarim. The same way, mora basar v'dam, you're worried about your flesh and your blood, you're worried about your knees and your hips, you're worried about your health and your well-being, halavah, you'll be as worried about your soul as you are about your body. You have long-term care insurance for your body. You have long-term care insurance for your soul. You take how many vitamins a day for your body? What kind of nourishment do you have for your soul? You do certain exercises every day to maintain your mobility, your body. What are you doing for your soul? Every year you go for your annual checkup, and there you do your labs, and there they do the EKG, and they make sure your body. Do you go for an annual checkup for your soul? For your soul? That's what it means. Yirachnute mora shamayim aleichem kemora basar vidam. May your fear and concern and vigilance of your soul be as great as your effort and attitude when it comes to your body. That was the tefillah, Yehi Ratzon. And that's Hishamer Lecha. When it comes to your body, Hishamer. When it comes to your soul, Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. That, be incredibly more careful for. I'm going to work on, I don't know if I'll get done, but the fact that I'm saying it makes it more likely. I don't know how much more likely. But we go for the annual physical. We should have an annual spiritual. I hope to have this Elul out, an Emunah workbook. A workbook for us to go through and look at, not too long, ourselves, our families, that before we go into Rosh Hashanah, in Elul, Elul should be the time of year we all go for our annual spiritual. Once a year you go for your annual physical. Some are not so good at it, and it took their wife and their executive assistant to conspire and make the appointment and then end up there. Okay, hopefully you're better than I am at it. But people go for their annual physical. We need to go for an annual spiritual. What does that look like? How do you do that? You can't go to Quest. I'm here for my spiritual. Where do you go for your annual spiritual? What do the results look like? Who interprets them? How do you know what you have to change up? How do you measure what they mean for your health? So we don't have all the answers. Hopefully that's something we can work on and provide to you. Because Ushmor Nafshecha Ma'od. Your body, take good care of. But it's only going to be here 70, 80, 120 years. But your soul, Nafshecha, that Ma'od. Be very, very careful, because that's going to be here for even longer, a very long time. Perek Daled Pasuk Chavav. Turn the page, 962. Ha'idosi b'chem hayom. Exile and return. This, the bottom page of 962, is what we read Tisha B'Av morning. We don't do on Tisha B'Av morning the ordinary reading of a fast day. We read this, even though we're about to read it the Shabbos. Nevertheless, we read it on Tisha B'Av morning. Ki solid banim b'nei banim v'noshantem ba'aretz. When you beget children, when you're going to have children and grandchildren, v'noshantem ba'aretz. You know what noshantem means? You're going to be for a long time in the land, and it's going to grow old. It won't be special and fresh. We're less than 80 years, and yet it feels already we're coming close to this. V'noshantem. In the first years of the miracle of the modern state of Israel, what a gift. You talk about not entitled, not expected. What a gift after 2,000 years. Everything about it was a miracle. And now, v'noshantem. It's old. It's a given. Of course we belong there. Of course we have everything we have. Now we can fight about what it should look like and where it should go and what the policies should be. V'noshantem. We're going to become corrupt and we're going to worship other things. We'll do evil in Hashem's eyes. He's going to get angry. And so says the Torah, says Moshe, I appoint heaven and earth to bear witness against you. You are going to disappear quickly from that land. You're not even in that land, but I want to warn you now. You're not even there yet. But I'm telling you, don't you think it's permanent? Don't ever feel you're there forever. You got to earn it. You got to be worthy of it. You've got to appreciate it. And the moment you turn on God, the moment it starts to get old and stale, the moment you don't appreciate it, and the moment you become unworthy for it, He will vomit you out of that land. Not in my language, but the Torah's. You will perish. You will be exiled. You will be kicked out of that land. Ki shamed tishamedun. Wow, that is very strong language. Why is Moshe invoking heaven and earth? What do heaven and earth have to do with this? says Rabbi Soloveitchik in the Rav Chumash. Why was it necessary for Moshe to say heaven and earth, the natural world as it were, would be witnesses? If Moshe had said, I call on Hashem to testify against you this day, it would imply that the people's exile from Israel was a punishment from HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the sin of idolatry, non-compliance with Torah. After all, the positive and negative commands of Torah are all provided with sanctions and penalties. But exile from Eretz Yisrael, writes the Rav, listen carefully, exile from Eretz Yisrael is not a punishment. The land itself, by its nature, does not tolerate sinners. Imagine trying to plant a fruit from a subpolar region in Eretz Yisrael. You'll fail. It's impossible. You cannot raise plants in Eretz Yisrael that need a different climate or different geographic conditions. It's not a punishment. If you try to plant something that the soil and the climate of Israel doesn't allow for, do you say, ooh, it's a punishment, it didn't take? No, you simply say, it's not fertile ground for that. Similarly, Eretz Yisrael simply does not tolerate sin. It rejects sinners the way organisms reject certain foods, or the way certain climates will reject the palm, should you try to plant it there, or the way body rejects lettuce from certain places. It's not a punishment. It is a natural consequence. If it were a punishment, we could say Kodesh Baruch Hu is full of grace and mercy. He'll wait until the last day for the sinner to come back. There's always solace. In fact, Kodesh Baruch Hu is the one who punishes. He's full of grace. He has unlimited patience, and maybe he'll forgive. But in this case, says Moshe, here the land will simply throw you out. A person who eats food he cannot digest will vomit, whether he wants to or not. An organism rejects foreign bodies that it cannot digest. Naturally, geographically, Eretz Yisrael cannot tolerate sinners. Moshe said, I call as witness against you this day, heaven and earth. What he meant was, I'm calling on nature, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not interfere. When something is a function of nature and the natural order, then Hashem is not going to interfere. So Moshe calls on heaven and earth because he's telling us that to merit to be in the land, this is the message of these 9 days, Shavuot, Shechal Bo, and Tisha B'Av that's coming up. We're not there forever. It's not permanent. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted. If we continue to fight and talk about one another, treat each other, kill each other, if we're not living the values, the lives that Hashem wants us to, if we don't appreciate centrality of Torah, the importance of Torah also in protecting us, these critical values of Hashem, that land can vomit us out unless we think Hashem would never do that. And he loves us and he's patient and he's kind. Kiviyochol, so to say, it's not up to him. This is the way he designed the land. It cannot tolerate it. We cannot be planted there. We don't take root there if we live this way. And if we want to remain, we've got to live up. Otherwise, we cannot and we will not be there forever. And that is a scary, scary thought and a scary proposition. Oh boy. So is the clock. Perek Dal Pasuk Chaf Tes, top of the next page. Uvikashta Misham, we alluded to this pasuk earlier. Uvikashta Misham Hashem Lekecho Matzasa. You're going to search for Hashem from there and you'll find him. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a beautiful book, an essay called Uvikashta Misham. Ki Sidrushena B'chol Levavcha B'chol Nafshecha. You're going to search with all your heart and all of your soul. Says the or Yesha. Uvikashta Misham. Margele B'pumei. Uvikashta Misham Hashem Lekecho. Afilu Mirak Tivakish Lava Hashem. Uvitzapa Masai Tiskan V'Hashem Yisborach. Umatzasa klomar daivika. Uvikashtem umatzasa. How can you make that promise? If I search for God, umatzasa, I'll find him? Those are two separate things. One is to search, and the second is, if you're successful in the search, then you find. How can you promise as a natural consequence, if you search, then you find? And you know what the answer is? Ki sidrushena b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. If you're looking for Hashem with all your heart and all your soul, then even in the search, just by virtue of being engaged in the search, you've already found him. You found him. You hear? It doesn't mean if you look, then you're guaranteed to find. It means that looking is finding. Looking is finding. A person who's engaged in the effort of emuna, searching and yearning, working their emuna muscles, putting on their emuna glasses, seeing Hashem in this world, it doesn't mean you've arrived. Your emunah bitachon aren't perfect. You're not necessarily yet v'atem hadvekin, clinging to Hashem. You're not there yet. But just the effort, the exercise, being engaged in the search is in fact finding. That's what we say in Kedushin, our davening. What do we say? Ayei makom. What do we say? Ayei makom kvodo? I'm butchering that. Ayei makom kvodo. I think it's the Kotzker who says, Aye. You know where Makom Kvod, the place of God's glory, is when we ask, Aye, where are you? When we ask, when we search, when we look, that is what it means to find. And that's why Uvikashtem Umatsasa, you will find him. How can we know? How can you guarantee? Because Kisidrushenim b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha. When you search with all your heart and all your soul, in the act of searching, you've already found him. Perek Dalet Pasuk Lamites. Turn the page yet again. We are flying. Where do we say that every day? In what tefillah? Aleinu. You were shown to know, place in your heart, that Hashem, your God, in the heavens above and the earth below, Ein od. Hashamayim mima'al, the heaven above, aretz mitachas, the earth below, Ein od. There is no one, there is nothing more than him. Says the Tefer Shlomo of Shlomo Radamsk. We'll end with this, even though we had so much more still to say. V'yedat hayom, ikar darche chasidah she'idah adam amesh avar hayom. Hayom. Here again we have the word hayom. We saw one hayom, the Rebbe Elimelech Lezhinsk, the normal Elimelech. And here we have a second hayom, v'yedata hayom. In fact, all over the book of Dvarim, Moshe's monologue includes the word hayom over and over and over today. We'll see it in a few weeks. Re'ah nochi nosen lefnechem hayom. Hayom, hayom, hayom. V'yadat hayom. V'atem adikim hashem hayom. Hata haresa hayom. Hayom, hayom, hayom. Ikar da'ach chasidus, a person has to know what they did wrong today. Imasa eiz ha-mitzvah karoi v'nachonim lo. V'yashkiach ha-chol d'rachav im-heim v'nachonim. We have to every day take an accounting for that day. If this was true in his time, it's all the more so true today, that we are living in supersonic speed. We're living so quick that we never press pause. We're not contemplative. We don't think. We don't reflect. We don't take stock. V'yadata hayom imteida b'chol yom ma'she'asis b'yom, then v'ashevosa elavavecha. At the end of every day, we're meant to say, what did I get right today? What did I get wrong today? Where did I do well today? What could I do better today? Could you imagine the life you'd lead if every day you asked yourself, what kind of a husband or wife was I today? Where did I do well? How can I be proud? And where do I need some work? What kind of an Eved Hashem? How was my davening? How was my learning? How was my chesed? How was my patience? How was my humility? If you ask, how did I do in business today? How was my discipline today? Procrastination today? If every day we take stock of that day, asking ourselves, where did we do well and what can we improve on tomorrow? Just imagine what our lives would look like. And that, says the Tefer Shlomo of Radamsk, that's what V'yadata Hayom, today, V'yadata. Know today how you did, then v'hashivosa el avavecha, you'll put it in your heart for tomorrow, and you'll do so much better tomorrow. Hopefully we'll do better tomorrow in pacing the Parsha class. As I said, we're off for a few weeks. Pay attention to the WhatsApp group for the schedule, and maybe some bonus ideas and thoughts, even while we're away, and when we come back. Until then, Mirtz Hashem, it should be a meaningful Tisha B'Av, a redemptive Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av, we're not sitting on the floor, but halavai, we're all in Yerushalayim. And Amir Tzashem, if not, we'll see you on the other side. Have a good day filled with Besoros Tovos, Yeshuas, V'Nechamos.